Welcome to the Artie's Attic Warehouse 13 fan cast, where a steampunk girl, a lifelong sci-fi fan, and a rocket scientist chat about the popular 2009 sci-fi series. There's never a dull moment with the agents dedicated to protect humankind from unexplained phenomena that manifest their powers in special objects. And there's all those friendships and relationships along the way. Grab a cookie while you can. Hope you don't smell fudge. Gear up with your Farnsworth, Tesla, and neutralizer. And let's have some fun by snagging it, bagging it, and tagging it. Welcome back to Artie's Attic. We're a Warehouse 13 fan cast. I'm the Warehouse 13 janitor, rerouting the power through the isolinear chips to the plasma conduits in order to keep the rotating holodeck functioning. My name is SP.
That's a lot.
I thought it was a time machine, not a holodeck.
You know, in this one, you never know because of the guest stars.
True.
And introducing Artie's Attic lead agent and historian who cannot work in 1960s dictation machine to save her life because of paperwork. It's Agent Shannon.
What's up, guy? You know what? You're pretty accurate. I probably couldn't. And I do love history. Look what I have. It says, I like history. Maybe three people.
Well, since we're two people, we might be
part of the three.
We might. I don't know. And you just heard her. Also joining us is the warehouse agent whose detective vibes only work when she's in her own body, apparently. It's Agent Carolyn.
What? That's valid. Yeah. I only get the vibes when I'm in my own body. I can't feel somebody else's gut.
Or vibrations.
I can go so far with that. Okay.
I was waiting for it.
I know. I'm trying to be good. That's what I get for being good.
That'll last about 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. We are continuing our Warehouse 13 series discussion with the episode that premiered on September 7th, 2010, 115 years after the novel The Time Machine was originally published in 1895. I'm referring to the Warehouse 13 Season 2 10th episode, Where and When. The Amazon description for the episode reads, after former agent Rebecca reopens a Warehouse 13 cold case, Pete and Micah use H.G. Wells' time machine to travel back to the year 1961. Their mission, to save a group of innocent women from being turned into glass by an unknown killer and make it back to the future alive. Shannon, one of your favorite episodes so far, I guess.
It just keeps getting better and better from here until, you know, fifth season. Then it sucks for me. I love how they have always integrated stories from the past into these episodes, right? But here we actually have the time machine, H.G. Wells' time machine. So it's not your typical thing you would have seen on World of Worlds, but I love how they did it. I love how she executed in. I love the part where Claudia is saying that must have been the worst pain of living, having a child die. So deadpan when she's like, no, what I did to them, that's the worst pain someone can go through.
Yeah. I was like, ooh, don't cross the HG.
No. She kicked your booty.
There's a little forecasting going on there.
Just a tiny bit.
Yes.
There has been the whole time with H.G. Wells. We've been unpeeling the onion little bit by little bit with her.
Right. And obviously, I think you're meant to, because it's meant to bring you into like a false sense of security with her, because no, it's not going to happen. But I think she is sincere when she's with Micah and with the team. I just think that she has those moments where the real layer of her, like you said, the onion, like you get to see the real facade goes down and you get to see something's up. She's here for something. But then she's with the team and she actually gets along with them and they actually start to like her. And then even Artie liked her at the end after he put the Tesla to her head.
She did get a gold star
at the beginning. She got a gold star, right?
She got a gold star.
I don't care about gold star. Nobody gets a gold star. Artie, man, calm down.
Question. What made Rebecca come to the warehouse to begin with? I mean, did she just wake up one morning and
it was the obituary.
It was the obituary plus her diagnosis.
Who's yep. Maybe I didn't see the very beginning.
Rebecca was dying of cancer.
That's what it was. Her diagnosis is what made her. That's what made her want to go back.
And I think the obituary of the guy that was the editor of the magazine that supposedly, allegedly killed, what, three secretaries and his wife? Or was it two secretaries and his
three
wife?
Secretaries.
Three secretaries and his
not
wife.
Not killed, glassed. That's the difference.
I'm sorry. Glassed with an unknown artifact.
So again, which brings us to another history story that was the Grimm's fairy tale?
Yeah, it was the Cinderella story tale. But you're right. All the Grimm stuff it's public domain. So you can do whatever you want with it. But they are very gruesome. They are very horrific. I mean, if you're a horror fan, it's great. But it's not a children's bedtime story the way we think of it today.
So like Artie said, they have to twist it into story. Again, it's always going to be one of my favorite parts of the warehouse as a whole, of how they take stuff that you've already heard of before and tweak it into the episode to make it work, like the time machine. So I just thought it was a phenomenal episode. And we get to see another Star Trek character.
We do.
We do.
We got Quark. Actually, he played more than Quark, by the way. I looked up his IMDb, as you know, I do.
As you do.
He has 213 acting credits. Deep Space Nine, or Quark specifically, is not his only Star Trek acting credit. He also played in a total of 4 episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation as 4 different characters over the course of all 7 seasons. So season 2 episodes in season 1. An episode in season 2, and then as Quark in episode 7, season 7, episode 21.
Which is funny because I can't see him in TNG.
It was The Last Outpost, which was the 4th episode. Haven, which is the 10th episode. In The Last Outpost. The
4th episode as in the first season?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Which nobody ever watches, right? his character name was Latek. And then in season 1, episode 10, Haven, he was the character Gift Box Face. I don't know if that's a character or maybe I don't remember the episode, to be honest with you. And in season 2, episode 21, he played a Daemon Proctor, which is different than Quark.
I do remember that name. I can't see the face, but I don't start TNG before 3rd season.
I remember him in SG-1, Stargate SG-1, I think. He was in Stargate. He was one of those fairy kind of people. I can't
season
remember what
1, episode 7, The Nox, which is the people
Nox.
That...
Yeah, it was the Nox. Yeah. Yep. He was one of those. I was like, oh, Quark!
But he's been in a lot. So I'm just guessing that one or maybe both of you might have watched Cagney and Lacey.
Nope.
Long time ago, yes.
Yep. An episode of that, an episode of Remington Steele, an episode of Aftermath, which, okay. An episode of, and I know you've mentioned this before, Shannon, The Facts of Life.
That was not what I was thinking of.
Oh, it was Carolyn. So, sorry. An episode of Who's the Boss? An episode of Alien Nation. Shannon, I think this is you again. My memory happens to not be very good tonight, but 16 episodes of Beauty and the Beast.
Yes, I have watched that because it had Linda Hamilton in it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Linda Hamilton and the guy, I can't remember his name, Ron Perlman.
Yep.
Yep.
So 16 episodes of that. I don't have his character name, but he was in 16 episodes of that. 1 episode of Married with Children, 2 episodes of L.A. Law. And I just throw that in there because L.A. Law was this smash hit when it was on. Mm. And he got 2 episodes of that. 1 episode of Star Trek Voyager, which again, he played Quark in.
Quark. Yep.
1 episode of Seinfeld. 1 episode of Stargate, 1 episode of Ally McBeal, a 1998 TV movie, The Lost World, and then deleted scenes from the 1998 Star Trek Insurrection film. So he wasn't actually in theaters, but he's on deleted scenes for that. 172 episodes of Star Trek Deep Space Nine. The man was working for 7 years. 19 episodes of Buffy the Vampire Slayer as Principal Snyder.
You know, you're listening to all these cop shows from the 80s. I'm like, where's Hunter? Hunter's my favorite. That's the one I watched most.
I know, you know, he might have done that. Let me check.
He wasn't in that. I didn't watch it.
One episode of Charmed. The good Charm, not the reboot.
The good Charm.
It was a demon.
Oh, okay.
Who wasn't? If you weren't one of the girls.
One episode of The West Wing, and it was season 3, episode 22, Posse Comitatus. And he played Richard III. I think he was acting at the time. And he also produced a production of Richard III, but he's never actually played Richard III. I looked it up.
Richard III.
Yep.
You know, there's a movie that came out last summer that I watched. It was about when they discovered the body of Richard III. And only I was the only person in the entire theater. Like, I knew I would be because it's you know, it's a true story.
History.
Mm-hmm.
We're not done yet. One episode of ER, and again, I throw that in there just because, you know, ER, and everybody seems to be on it. But get this. Shannon, I don't know if you remember this or not, but season 1, episode 10, The Capture of Benedict Arnold, he played David Rittenhouse in a little series called Timeless.
Look at
it. He did.
Yeah,
I remember that.
Shannon, you podcasted on that in the Timeless Journey cast.
Actually, my head is stuck on Charmed at the moment because I remembered what episode he played in, because he played a wizard and it was a time loop and it was the one where Prue died.
Well, I can look that up for you
real quick. I think it was either Prue died or maybe they were coming after Piper or something. He was the wizard.
He also is very prolific in video games. So Star Trek video games, Star Wars video games, Mass Effect, and Starfield video games.
You ever realize just how many female voices from from the sci-fi shows are on video games? Like, like I know I'm Janeway. Kate Mulgrew?
Yep, Kate Mulgrew.
Claudia Black is amazing voiceover on a character. She plays a dragon age? Is it Dragon Age?
So the episode of Charm that Armin was in was season 4, episode 19, We're Off to See the Wizard, and he played the wizard.
As I said, he's a wizard.
As you
said. That's funny.
As I said. Well, that's cool that we finally have another Star Trek. That makes our third one. Guest star for the Browse 13.
I don't think I actually said his name. It's Armin Shimmerman is his name.
Yep. Yeah.
And he plays the boss for the warehouse back in 1961.
Yes, he's their Artie. And it was funny. As soon as he's leaving, Pete said that he's a bit of a sphincter.
Yeah, a little bit.
Like a little elf.
He's a bit of a sphincter. No, as in he's a pain in the butt.
He mentions Mrs. Frederick. We don't get to see Mrs. Frederick, but he mentions Mrs. Frederick was around in 1961.
Did you notice that the case that they were going to get put onto instead of the glass, that it was about the camera? Yeah.
Man Ray's
camera.
Yep. Yeah, Man Ray's camera. They were about to get put on Man Ray's camera.
I wonder what happened. So were you gone from having a whole front office of warehouse agents right there, all those cars parked out front, to just one dude that takes care of everything?
Because they all died in the line of duty.
And Artie's left.
It's all that smoking.
Yeah, Artie's the only one left. So you have to go back to the history of the warehouse, which we have not gotten in the show yet, but we know this is the 13th warehouse, and every once in a while, the warehouse resets. And then you got to go and get all these artifacts, which may have found their way out of the warehouse back into the warehouse. So as the warehouse is accruing these artifacts, some old, some new, that the available artifacts worldwide start to pare down. So you might not need as many agents.
Right. I think you'll get, at the end of this season, you'll get a little bit more history of the warehouse, because there's an episode coming up where HG is talking about her time at Warehouse 12, which was in London. Mm-hmm. And you get to have they go back into her time period. So they go back in the late 1800s, 1890s, I think is when she was at Warehouse 12. So, and then you get to see another guest star, and I don't know his real name, but he played on Torchwood.
Which one?
Not Jack's boyfriend.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we'll get to that eventually.
You shake your head. You've never seen Tortured, right?
No. Nope. Oh.
He plays her partner from the 1890s.
Okay. Never seen it.
Artie has mentioned that the warehouses are placed in the biggest nation in the world or biggest kingdom in the world for at the protection.
Time. Yep.
At some, I forget what episode that was, but I do remember him saying that the warehouses are actually placed in strong nations so that they can be protected.
I know number two is in Egypt. I want to say the first one was in the Mesopotamia. I think the first one was with Run Alexander the Great.
I wonder if it was really the Library of Alexandria. I wonder if that was really Ooh. Warehouse one. I don't know. I don't remember the history. Yeah.
Well, it'd have been Warehouse two. Well, Alexandria, wasn't that in Egypt anyways, right? Alexandria is in Egypt. So, Warehouse 2. They take us to Warehouse 2 later on the season, and it's in Egypt.
So, H.G. Wells' time machine is 22 hours and 19 minutes, which is 1,339 minutes. I did a cursory search. I didn't find anything. I've never read
how many
the time travel. 22 hours and 19 minutes, which is 1,339 minutes. I don't know why that is, and I don't think we're going to figure it out right now. But what can you do in 22 hours and 19 minutes? Think about that for a second. What would you want to do in another time period? For like, Shannon, you would go back to probably the point of the Alamo before it falls, right? The 23 hours before it falls. So you won't be there for the actual final minutes or anything.
First of all, I may be a true Texan through and through, but they were told to leave. They didn't leave. So even if I went back to the Alamo and said, hey, y'all need to get your crap and move, they would have left. I would have gone back to history, but I don't think I'd go too far back because I think I'm the kind of person that would have been burned at the stake. So I'm very outspoken. I'm lesbian. You know, all those things that they would have tied me to a chair and thrown me in a pond of water somewhere. So I would have made it.
But you would have been possessing somebody else's body, so...
I know. I have theories on that.
But if you die... Yeah. If you die, though, they said not good things will happen to you.
Yes.
Well, the whole thing was reversed, because if you manage to pull yourself out that chair out the bottom of the lake, then, of course, you're a witch, and they're going to kill you anyways. But if you...
Yeah, drown, it was always a catch-22.
I was like, what the hell?
Carolyn... actually lives close to a stake that they burned witches at. She lives close to Salem.
Not that's Salem. It's a different Salem.
There's only one Salem.
There's two Salems.
Two?
It's only one that I care about.
Okay.
One's far away from me, and that's what started the whole Salem thing. The other happens to be my state capital.
Oh, so they transported or duplicated the stake. In your state.
I have yet to see a steak in my state.
Well, they're not in Texas. I can tell you that because they'd just be barbecue pits right here. Which is also still kind of crunchy. Not you think. I do want to go back. I would go back to Victorian England. Absolutely. That I would my favorite.
Probably want to be on the Columbia before it deorbited.
I was trying to say that did not end well. Why would you want to do that?
Yeah.
Because I would
like being on the Challenger.
Yeah, no, thank you.
No, not so much.
It's like, no, that doesn't even last 22 hours and 19 minutes. They didn't even get 2 minutes into it. Or I don't remember. Yeah. Columbia, while it's on orbit, not when it's coming down.
To what? To warn them?
Be on the final ride.
As you end up in Marshall, Texas, and all the bumpy parts before. You know, I don't think I would want to go back to change anything. I just want to go back to witness things.
Like see?
To see how things... Like people want to say, oh, Kidney. No, we know. I have great theories of who killed him, and I don't want anything to do with him. So it was not by accident.
11-22-63? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. That's a
November 23rd, 1963.
Did you watch that series?
What's that?
Have you watched that series?
No, I've stayed away from it. Something about a time-traveling closet.
Sounds much like Poltergeist now that you mention it.
Time-traveling closet?
It's basically what it is, right?
Poltergeist?
Not Poltergeist. The 112263.
Oh, yeah, that one.
I'd never heard of it.
Oh, my goodness.
There's an Amazon Prime series on it. It's called 112263.
I thought it was a good series.
Well, of course it's a good series. You time travel back to Texas in 1963.
I'd still stay away from Dallas. I'm just saying. I would like Victorian England because I like the invention part of this. The whole steampunk part of, you know, the steampunk sci-fi girl. That's me, right? I like the invention of the stuff that you see HG talk about inventing, or just the engines and. It's like right now, I like local history. I like going through the towns that are up around me. And you're like, oh, my God. So that's how the street names became named that, because it's named after somebody, or that was someone's farm, or, you know, your roads are only like the other day I asked the girls this question and I didn't expect them to know it. But Michaela knew it. I'm like, oh, my God, who told you this? She goes, you. I'm like, yeah, that's me. Why you have roads the sizes that they are. Your lanes. Why you have lanes the size? Do you know why? Y'all know that.
Yeah, it's the distance between two horses' butts.
The chariots or the wagons, whatever, or the Roman roads. I mean, history. I just want to witness it again. I don't want to live.
You wouldn't go back to January 28th, 1996.
What's that?
It was the last time the Dallas Cowboys won the Super Bowl.
Oh, geez. No. I have no desire for that.
Been a minute.
Let me tell you something. Working there at the Star, working and right next to Jerry Jones's office, everybody comes in, and it is a pretty building. It really is. But if I was more of a football fan, I might be more in awe of it, but I really don't care anything about football, like, at all.
And you call yourself a Texan.
Yes, but not a Cowboys fan.
Cowboy cheerleader fan?
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
I let them come in the other day, too. Yeah. They all smell pretty nice. So speaking of smelling nice, you got your wife, Jamie. She was so pretty in this episode. And she got her gold star.
Yeah, it was funny. I wonder what the case was that they were actually going to do in the beginning before Rebecca showed up. So there's still an artifact that needs to go finding, because I already had like things for them distracted. To go do. But, you know, there were more pressing matters. I found it really interesting. They're all talking about, well, apparently we did this before. So apparently we have to do it again because we already did it. So, I mean, we already did it. So we have to do it again because we already did it. Time travel in your brain.
You're like, what? I like the part where he's
like, get
your butt to Mars.
Oh, yeah. Get your butt to Mars. And then, oh, I love it.
So wait a minute. In case anybody doesn't get that reference, Pete was actually referencing a famous Arnold Schwarzenegger movie.
Total Recall.
Total Recall.
Total Recall. And then Micah was like, Claudia said, Pete and Micah's excellent adventure.
You see HG's face. She's like, what the hell are they doing?
Yeah.
She didn't get that reference.
She don't get lots of references.
No.
Well, they were in Green Bay. And at the end, you know, they're trying to drive back to the warehouse with this knife that they got. You know, the knife that glasses people when you stab them. Yeah, in Ford Fairlane. So they're driving back and they think they're going to make it in like 12 minutes. They're in Green Bay. They're headed to South Dakota. Minnesota might not be the biggest state out there. Well, it's going to take a few hours to go from the east side to the west side of that state. Just saying, they're not going to make it.
That's like driving through Texas.
And this is 1961, so there's no freeway.
No, there's no way.
They shouldn't have mailed it, because when they mail it, it gets lost at the post office.
Yeah, what was the Dr. Doom?
Yeah.
Dr. Doom.
And it ends up in the popcorn bowl.
Yep, in a popcorn bowl.
The time travel in this worked very similarly to what I've read, and we've talked about it before, of this series, the silly series called Command Z, which was written by the same writer from season 2, episode 8, Merge with Caution. We talked about it about 3 times now. So the time travel works the same way.
By changing consciousnesses.
Yes, by putting your conscious in somebody else's body. Yeah.
And the fact that AG could create this, and the only reason she realized she could create it was that she actually went back in the past before to try to save her daughter. And then she created the time machine. But you can't change the past with the people, because that's what led you to the future that you're at. So
butterfly effect.
Butterfly effect. Kinda. So you can't change the past.
But she didn't know that then.
I mean, the butterfly effect is basically saying you do one thing and that affects so much.
True. What I'm thinking about is, did you guys ever watch the movie Time Machine? I don't remember when it came out. This was one that was a different movie. It was it in the 90s or something?
Yes, in the early 2000s, the one where they started off in New York in 1890, something like that.
Yes. Yeah. And he creates that time machine that he sits in, and it's like, it looks like a
round
thing with a fan.
I just remember that whole movie was tripping.
I loved that movie. I love the music out of it too. But when he gets to the end of that movie, or the last time frame, because he's trying to figure out how to change the past, because his fiance gets killed. And when he gets there, this, you know, creature that is evolved says, well, you can't change that past, because if you change that past, you wouldn't have gotten to this future. So you can't change anything, because then nothing would have been created that you create. So you can't go forward in time to try to figure out how to change that past, because then you wouldn't have been forward in that time.
Because you wouldn't have chosen that path.
Yep. It always hurts my brain.
Guy Pearce was the star of that.
Yes. It was a good movie. I liked that movie. But this, her time machine, to be able to create it, made me think of it, because everything always has to spin in time machine things. Have you noticed that?
Like, you got to get enough momentum to go back in time.
I was trying to think of this, and I actually Googled it, but I didn't find any results. So if you're listening to this and you're hearing what I'm saying and you know the answer, please let us know.
Listen to the words of my mouth. Okay.
Yeah, but there was a table, 2 people on a table, and it was spinning. And I swear I remember it from like Star Trek or maybe Doctor Who or something. I think Star Trek, though. I'm not placing it.
Yeah. But yeah, I remember that too, that there was like a time travel with it's always got to be spinning. Like, something is spinning when you have to get the right.
How else are they going to like manipulate you into thinking that something's happening other than you're spinning? You got to get enough inertia or momentum or something to get moving back into the past or something.
I have an issue with time travel. And my issue with time travel is oftentimes you start in one place and then you time travel and you're in the exact same spot in a different time. That is false. And it's false because the universe is moving and spinning and going different places. So even if you time travel, let's say a day, Earth has passed you by. You are now in deep space without a spacesuit.
Yeah, but if you're traveling back in time, you're traveling back to that point in time. So the Earth has to re-go back to that spot too, because it's not going to move when you're, if you're going back into that time, but you're going back to when it was at that point. Right?
No, you're only, the fallacy is you're just traveling in time. Yeah, it's the fallacy of all these. You're traveling in time. So you're actually traveling in time and space. Yes.
So you have to say that you're traveling in time and space, and then you'd be happy with that?
Yes, I would, but nobody says that.
You two are funny. You two are funny. You're talking about, I have a problem with this particular part of time travel. I'm like, time travel hasn't been proven at all, so...
Well, not according to HG.
We're all time travelers.
She was motivated. She's pissed off.
She was. Very motivated.
So when I watched this episode a couple of times, and when I was watching it, it didn't grab me holistically as the same sort of quippy stuff. Now, you did have Pete and Micah going back and forth in the video that they made, the the film, I guess.
That was that they funny. Made.
They were going back and forth on that.
Right for once.
Aside from that, it really didn't get the quippy, sarcastic
because
stuff.
It needed to be dark.
It was dark. And then before I watched it, when I'm doing my show notes, I looked at the creative team for this and I was like, oh, this is going to be one of those episodes. It was directed by Stephen Craig, who has 64 directing credits. And his earlier years were kind of less serious, but then he got into serious stuff. So 11 episodes of Doogie Howser, MD.
Oh, wow.
2 episodes of The Wonder Years, 2 episodes of Northern Exposure. Remember all those like woodsy programs that were on?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Northern Exposure was one of that, just a town in the woods sort of thing.
It was a town in Alaska, I think, or Northern Canada somewhere.
I thought it was
Oregon. I didn't watch it. I don't know. Shut up.
1 episode of Space Above and Beyond, 1 episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, 1 episode of the new Fantasy Island. Did you all watch the old Fantasy Island?
Yeah, I remember the old one.
I watched some of it. Deep plane, boss.
1 episode of Monk, 1 episode of Jag, 1 episode of Desperate Housewives, 14 episodes of ER, only 1 episode of Warehouse 13. I think this is a good thing. 1 episode of Agent Carter.
Oh, yeah.
Shannon visually reacted to that. And then 1 episode of a series that I think was on Nat Geo. It was called Mars. And honestly, I haven't seen
that.
I watched the first season, but I think they had 2 or 3 seasons. And I didn't watch the whole thing.
I haven't watched any other ones.
You named a couple things that I love. You know, I love Jag. I still love
Jag.
But then, you know, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, Agent Carter. Little Haley Atwell for there.
Mm-hmm. I like a lot of Haley Atwell.
So you got Jamie Murray, Haley Atwell, Kat Burrell.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. I'm not going to ask you to choose, but I mean, you got Kat Burrell. Big ones there. Yeah.
Kat Burrell. I just named it. First.
Oh, Kat Burrell.
It's unless you can bring in Micah, because I like Micah as a character better than Joanne Kelly. And then I would really like to see a crossover between Micah and Kat and Officer Hot. Yeah.
Hmm. So it was written by a pair that I've actually podcasted a lot about. It's Drew Z. Greenberg and Andy Kreisberg.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that name.
Yeah, Andy Kreisberg was big in the CW shows, like Arrow, 170 episodes of Arrow, 126 episodes of Supergirl, 110 episodes of Legends of Tomorrow, 184 episodes of Flash. A few.
Just a couple.
Drew Z. Greenberg had 1 episode of Firefly, so.
Did he also do anything with Defiance?
I don't see any on The Chosen, and I don't know why I wouldn't have put that out there if it was there.
For some reason, he's a writer, right? Or is he a producer?
He's a writer and a producer. And he did an episode of Firefly, but nothing.
He's one of the producers that was on board with the whole Micah and HT's, you know, kind of falling in love kind of storyline. He's the one that told them to play into it.
Yeah, he has 57 producing credits for Warehouse 13. So not all of them, not all 64 episodes, but 57 of them. So he was one of the main producers. Yeah.
On a side note, did you see that when HG was checking on both Pete and Micah, she was holding Micah's hand and checking Pete's pulse?
Oh, yeah. I'm aware. I saw it.
I saw that. I was going to say that to you.
No, I've seen it.
Yeah, I know.
So the creative team here, just to finish that thought off, I realize you all had to talk about Jamie and stuff, but the creative team just led this not to be the show that we know and love. The actors, just like last week, the actors tried to pull it off in the scenes that they could, but they weren't given a lot of material to make Warehouse 13, this episode, the Warehouse 13 that it is. So just throwing it out there.
Well, with having HG on, you got to have it. I feel like they purposely balance between the good fluffy ones, like for the team where she's helping the wrestling team, And then you have things like this are kind of dark. You have the whole fairy tale thing that ended up being Cinderella's slipper that ended up being kind of on the dark side of things, right? But still enough that you understand where the story came from. But yeah, it's like you were saying earlier, they're foreshadowing, because the whole thing with this season is foreshadowing of what's going to happen.
We're almost at the end. The season's only 12 episodes long, so we're almost there. I mean, there's 13 episodes, but the 13th is the Christmas one.
Yeah. So. Which Carolyn, she's not in, actually.
What was your favorite scene or favorite part of the episode?
Oh. I'm not sure.
It's not like you didn't know this question was coming.
I know, but I never know what my favorite part is, because I love it, just right? like the whole thing. Yeah, I just like the whole thing. I mean, just the you get the cold shoulder from Artie as he argues with Micah before they're going to go off to St. Louis to check this guy's apartment out. And he's just, you know, really mad at her for wanting HG or giving HG a positive review and bringing her onto the team. And he's like, you just don't know. And then when Artie's, you know, sends that pulse, and we do have the snow globe artifact, because HG says, I need something to cool down everything. And Claudia's like, I'm on it. She brings back the snow globe. And then Artie's like, well, you're naive, Claudia. You just believe the best in everyone and you don't understand. And he is rightfully so. We know that, she ends up being a great person. But at that point, she was sincere in the fact that she wanted to save everyone. I mean, we kind of get like a Hallmark ending to this one, because there's the two of the agents, Rebecca and her
Jack.
They kiss, and it's kind of like a Hallmark ending. You kiss fairy the tale. End.
So the real ending was foretold at the beginning when Rebecca was saying, mm-hmm. I woke up and he was kissing me, when in fact she kissed him because of her trip back.
Yeah, because she had cancer and she's like, I don't want to come back. So, I mean, there was a lot of good Pete and Micah moments and just interesting the car and Eddie going, or Pete saying, "Wow, man, steak for $1.
Yeah. No kidding.
Steak and for $1.
And Micah saying, yeah, well, Pete, just be careful what you say, because women slap men for being fresh.
He didn't get slapped. My favorite one is when he's sitting down next to what we think is the villain at the time, right? Jonah Raitt. And it's played by David Anders. And he sit down and Jackie O! And like, oh, Jack O. Oh, she's so cool. That's kind of my favorite one, because he had to walk that one back.
Yeah.
David Anders, by the way, is an accomplished actor himself. Might not be anywhere near the 213 credits that Armin had, but David has 37 credits since 2001. You might have seen him in a couple of things. He was in one episode of Charmed, the good one, not the bad one, 56 episodes of Alias. So he played a main character
where
there.
I know him from. I was like, I know this guy's face from
distinguish between good and bad Charmed.
I do, because I've watched The Bad Charm, and I don't ever want to watch it again. 15 episodes of Heroes. I don't remember who he played in Heroes, but I do remember seeing him in Heroes. 6 episodes of 24. So we're getting a lot of 24 actors. And 24 was a big show. I didn't watch it, but I know it was a big show. 1 episode of Arrow, so probably played a bad guy that died. And then 40 episodes of a show I did not watch, but I think Sean did, your husband, Shannon, of iZombie.
I didn't see that one.
I think he did watch that.
Yeah. So he's been around. He doesn't have anything much lately.
Which also had Kat Burrell's husband in it.
Oh, okay. But anyway, that was my favorite scene, where he's Jackie O, and it's small and whatever. My second favorite is when they're in Orchard, you know, smooching and kissing, getting the Hallmark.
Getting the Hallmark moment.
Yeah. Shannon, what was your favorite part of the episode?
I think I liked the Claudia in HG talk, when HG was explaining to her about what she's gone through. Good. Because if you remember at the beginning of the episode, Claudia is so skittish. She's so nervous around. Oh, I make her nervous. And she dropped the cup, right?
I make you.
Yeah.
Don't make me.
I think Claudia has a better understanding of her now. She's not evil. She was just had something traumatic happen to her.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she might turn out to be tricking them later, but she's still not evil. She just, like I said, she has a traumatic, and I can't say that I wouldn't do the same thing for my daughters. Yeah. And you're going to feel it if I caught you.
When does Claudia start to recognize her powers? Is it season 4?
I want to say yes.
Yeah. So I think if she had any semblance of her powers, that this episode would have gone a little differently for her.
Maybe. But that's a good thing you bring that up, because like when Claudia is discovering things about HG, when they finally get to hear the stories about it, about how she became an apprentice of Warehouse 12, right? And then they get to see things of how things were done back then. And they start working on projects together. And HG and Claudia really become like, just like her and Micah, they become like sisters, because they're both tinkers. They both like to tinker around and fix things. So there is a relationship there that is forming between Claudia and HG that is broken, and no one else can really fix that part, which brings you back into all those fanfics that I could tell you about, because they didn't really do much about it in the episodes, but they nourish that one, that relationship in the fanfics, because they are the tinkers. They're the ones who fix things in the warehouse. So I
did think of it.
Yeah, they both have a connection, but they both like to tinker. They both like to fix things, and they both are great under pressure.
I did think of another favorite part that I had at the end when she was trying, HG was trying to get the machine to power up so that they could get Micah and Pete back. And she's like, I don't understand it. It's not getting the power. And Rebecca just looks at her and says, well, it worked in my timeline. Pete, and everybody's like, huh. They go over and they just whack the thing to make it work. You know, if it doesn't work, just kick it and give it a kickstart.
Do that with everything.
Look, it works. And every time she would when she sent him back and it's this big lever. I don't know if you guys have seen Emperor's New Groove, but it made me think of
once. Yeah.
Pull the lever, Krunk.
Do we have any countdown? No.
Pull the lever, Krunk. Wrong lever. Oh, that movie cracks me up. One thing. So Micah pulls because Pete gets stabbed with the Cinderella knife, and Micah pulls it out and he stops turning to glass. So why is it that they didn't pull the knife out of the wife when she's on the ground before she turned to complete glass? I mean,
would
they have saved her?
She was evil.
Obviously.
They didn't want to. I mean, why didn't the husband?
Exactly. Why didn't somebody pull it?
He's like, I wish you'd have loved me less. I mean, I think at that point he's like, okay, she's got to go. So
he wanted to move to St. Louis.
And he was told to go to St. Louis. And Micah was completely involved with Pete.
He was supposed to go to St. Louis. He just wanted to go. He was trying to save the magazine. Okay. I mean, whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, we haven't talked about this. So Mad Men, this is reminiscent for me, this setting here. I didn't watch it, but it's very like it actually. Yeah, it actually premiered in 2007. So 3 years before this episode aired. So it had been out for a few years before this episode.
I didn't see Mad Men.
I was hoping that this was before Mad Men, and then Mad Men got the idea from Warehouse 13, but I think the writers got the idea from Mad Men in this one. Yeah.
Bummer.
You know, there is a book series that I watch. Well, actually,
Dune?
No, it's called... Damn it.
Foundation?
Stop it. Stop, stop, stop. Peculiar Occurrences. It's...
Expanse?
If you don't stop...
Harry Potter.
There is a series that is about
Wheel of Time
agents that are from the 1890s that are in a secret society that have a woman who has a grappling hook. I swear to you, everything was written and then they created that. Jane Epstein must have gotten the idea from Warehouse 13 from this series.
Maybe.
The Ministry of Peculiar...
Oh, yeah.
Ministry of Peculiar Occurrences.
Yep.
It's amazing. I love it. I listen to the audiobooks, but I swear to you, when you're listening to it, you're like, that's HG. That's HG. That's... This is the whole thing is a warehouse. And they go after objects, and they're bringing them back into their secret library warehouse thing. You know, it's Warehouse 13.
So for my part, I've been rating these episodes. We haven't really talked about it that much over the season here, but I've still been rating the episodes. So we've had 22 episodes so far between season one and season two that we've podcasted on. And my number one episode was the premiere for season two, Time Will Tell. Then the finale from season one, McPherson. Then season one, episode four, which is Claudia, the third one. And then 13.1, which we just did five episodes ago, two episodes ago, Merge with Caution, and then this one. So it's my sixth favorite. The quippiness just isn't there, but it's got time travel in it. It's got warehouse lore. You get a little bit more of H.G. Wells in there. So I'll put it up there, but it's not my favorite.
I can't rank them anymore.
Yeah, I've been doing it along, so I've been keeping a list, but I have to go back and review the episodes to make sure that I'm going back and forth between them.
Like, I don't even remember the name of the episodes, but on season one, my favorite one is when the little metal spines on Pete's back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to say it's magnetism? No.
Possession? No. But that's the episode where you first see Jack.
Yes.
Yes. That's the first episode where we see Rebecca and Jack.
But yeah. Rebecca has now left us.
I like that one.
Both Jack and Rebecca are now gone.
Yes, they are.
The only food we got in this episode that I saw was the dollar steak, which we didn't actually eat. So there was, I don't think there was actually any food in this episode.
Just a glass of water.
Yeah, there was water. And there was Claudia telling Rebecca, no more sniffing glue, young lady.
It was Burnout, by the way. Season one, episode six, Burnout, which is my second to the last.
So who did y'all see the her eye? The girl that played the old woman? What was her name?
Rebecca.
She looked like she had a glass eye.
Does she?
I was about to say.
We talked about it when she was on the first time.
Kind of like Sandy Duffy. Okay.
Yeah. We talked about it because all of us noticed that one of them just doesn't look like the other.
One of these things is not like the other.
And if you want to talk about the color theory, which we haven't in the last couple episodes, but the knife was kind of orangish, which is bad. Purple was good. Oh. Orange is bad. So
don't
I think
started on the color thing. No.
Okay. We'll do that. So, Carolyn, do you have any quotes that we haven't talked about?
The one where when Pete and Micah first get into the bodies of Jack and Rebecca, Pete is holding a cigarette and he's like, the time machine set us on fire. And then he's like, oh, no, ew, gross. I'm just smoking.
And then the whole thing, you two hate each other.
Yeah, jerk.
We did get some feedback. It was sent to me personally on somebody that I know, but we did get some feedback and I shared it in a text that we had back and forth, but I'll read it here. It's somebody that has been listening to our podcast as they go along, but it is, or oddly enough, Burnout was the one that he commented on. So it's Bandrew Scott from Podcast Stage YouTube channel and the Bandrew Says podcast. And he said, I didn't see an email on the Artie's Attic podcast. By the way, Bandrew, when you're listening to it, it's warehouse13fancast@gmail.com. That's warehouse13fancast@gmail.com. Say it every time. Okay. I didn't see an email on the Artie's Attic podcast, so I thought I'd let you know. I'm on season one, episode 6 of the podcast, and I was not expecting to hear sexual innuendo from you, but it cracked me up.
From you or from all of us? Because that comes from me all the time.
Exactly.
You have to be used to it by now.
Also, you can add one more listener to the dozens that you were counting. We might be up to a baker's dozen now. Dozens. Sweet. You were counting. Keep up the great work on the show. It's really nice to listen to one new episode each week or so. So thank you very much, Bandrew. And I did reply, by the way. Shannon does, if Shannon's on the podcast, eventually you all get into innuendo.
It's a given. You should just be really, just roll with it by now.
If there isn't one, we think there's something wrong with Shannon. So
right. You don't blame it on the head or something.
And actually, if you go back to those episodes in August, I think there were some signs there that something was wrong with you, as we talked about last week.
Oh, you think so? July, I think it's July, August, whatever it was.
It was August, yeah.
I did not feel good those months.
No. Yep. Okay, so next week.
Thanks for the feedback. Oh, we appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Bandrew. We really appreciate it.
My elephants. Kind of looks like Star Wars at the moment, right?
I was going to say, that kind of looks like an AT-AT.
Attic, whatever it's called.
Yeah. Yep.
Elephant.
I saw your elephants, but.
Next week, we'll be talking about Season 2, Episode 11, Buried. So, Shannon, do you want to hear the IMDb description or the IMDb description?
Yes. Okay.
The IMDb description reads, the team unearths an earlier warehouse in search of a cure for Mrs. Frederick's mystery illness.
Oh.
The reason why there was only one, by the way, is if you go into Amazon, the description of Buried is buried.
Okay. So
now that, so descriptive.
Now that you've mentioned it, I don't think it's when they, next episode is not when Claudia learns how to create.
Create what?
You asked earlier when she discovers that she's going to be like the caretaker, right? But there's an episode where Mrs. Frederick takes her off where she shows her the moments that objects become imbued with power. What creates those moments? But in this next episode coming up, the illness that Mrs. Frederick was having, they're wanting all of it to be transferred over to Claudia because they think that she's not going to make it. So we'll discuss that next time. But that's now that you, because you asked them earlier, I think that's one of the first times we get to see them talking about Claudia taking over the warehouse.
Okay. And then after that is our holiday episode. So we've got 3 good ones back to back coming up.
Sweet.
Which I think that one has the guy that, you ever seen the show, The Dresden Files?
I didn't see it, but I remember.
That was actually really good.
I haven't watched all of it. I watched it because Joanne Kelly plays a vampire in one of those episodes.
No.
Oh my gosh, she does. Really? I have to watch that again.
You watched it because Joanne Kelly is in it? Really? I'm shocked.
A half naked check that drinks blood. Yeah. Yes.
I'm shocked.
So much yes.
Anyways, shocking.
So anyways, she brings him over to the episode and the Christmas one.
All right. Well, maybe. It was good talking to you about the episode, and I think that's it for the week, right?
We're done. All right. Jamie. We get more Jamie.
All right. See everybody next week. I'm the janitor SP.
Jamie. This is Sci-Fi Girl.
This is Ocean 363. Bye.
Thanks for joining us for an episode of the Artie's Attic Warehouse 13 fan cast. You can find all our episodes at warehouse13fancast.com. If you'd like to contact us, you can hit us up on our email at warehouse13fancast@gmail.com. We are a part of the Lone Wolf Podcast Network. You can hear more of this cast and other shows like it by checking out lonewolfpodcasts.com. The intro music is Sci-Fi Hybrid Intro by SoundMake, and the outro music is Science Fiction by Tunes2Go. Both were purchased on Pond5.com.